भगवते वासुदेवाय I think Gaurang probably should be given PhD in why Krishna closed his eyes. So this is from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 1. Brahmaji is speaking. Namidyate bravapushe taditambaraya gunjavatam saparipichlasan mukhaya वन्यस्रजे कवलवेत्र विशानवेणु लक्ष्मश्ये मृदुपते पशुपंकजाय Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowards, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garments is brilliant like lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn and a flute. You stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. Purport. To the previous chapter, Brahma, the creator of the universe, tried to bewilder the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, by stealing his covered boyfriends and calves. But by a slight exhibition of Krishna's own mystic potency, Brahma himself was completely bewildered. And now with great humility and devotion, he offers his humble obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. The word Kavala in this verse refers to a morsel of rice mixed with yogurt that Krishna held in his left hand. According to Sanatana Goswami, the Lord held a herding stick and a buffalo horn pressed under his left arm, and his flute was placed under his belt. Beautiful young Krishna, decorated with multicolored forest minerals, exhibited opulences far greater than those of Vaikuntha. Although Brahma had seen innumerable four-armed forms of the Lord, he now surrendered unto the lotus feet of the two-armed form of Krishna, who appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brahma offered his prayers to this form. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Hare Krishna. So we are celebrating this most auspicious occasion of Krishna's appearance, Krishna's birth into this material world. And repeatedly Srila Prabhupada explains, in fact in the very introduction of Krishna book, he explains the purpose of Krishna's appearance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains also, when Brahmaji went along with all the demigods and also Mother Bhumi, Brahmaji thought, anyway, I will request on behalf of the Bhumi Devi. But I know for protecting Bhumi Devi from the burden caused by the demons, Krishna doesn't need to come. There is no need for the Lord to come. The killing business will be done by Lord Shiva and protecting business will be done by Indra. So I know that I will pray, but Krishna will tell these demigods will take care. But Brahmaji was proven wrong. Krishna decided to come. So Krishna does not come to kill or to protect, because that is not his main business when he comes to this material world. Repeatedly, it is explained Krishna comes here to perform beautiful dramas. And his dramas are most enchanting. He comes to attract our heart. In fact, when somebody comes to Radha Gopinath, especially all the devotees when they come, why do they come to Radha Gopinath? to glorify Radha Gopinath. Now today they are having their new outfit, and I don't think anybody, at least those who are, you know, dressing, worshipping Krishna, coming regularly to Krishna, they must have not asked anything from Krishna but simply glorifying his new flute, his new turban cloth, no, his new dress. So people come here to glorify Krishna, glorify his beauty, glorify his compassion. Yesterday we were discussing, if anybody goes to Siddhivinayak, I don't think they glorify Ganesh's clothes. In fact, they want to take out his clothes. You know, give me this, give me that. You don't go, people going to different temples, just glorifying the beauty of the deity. With Krishna, it doesn't happen like that. People come to Krishna, like I was recently in Jaipur, no, whichever time, whether it is winter, summer or rainy season, early morning 4:30, there are thousands of devotees coming to Radha Govinda Dev temple. And you don't know where they come from. They come from all different directions. At 4:10, nobody is there. At 4:30, 5,000 people are there. And they're offering prayers to Govinda Dev. Now the speciality in Govinda Dev is that you like that crowd. Because that crowd is not coming asking something for Krishna. In fact, they bring many things to Krishna and they simply glorify Krishna for his beauty and his compassion, his kindness. So therefore, when repeatedly we are told Krishna appears in this world to perform pastime, and approaching Krishna for any other reason other than being entertained by Krishna is not the right understanding of approaching Krishna, then we create an obstacle between us and Krishna in regards to our relationship. We create trouble, we create burden to Krishna. Yes, even though the Shastras explain akama, sarva kama, moksha kama, that one can approach Krishna for liberation, fulfilling material desires, mukti kama, but one should come to Krishna. That is what the broad-minded Bhagavatas, the Bhagavatam speaks. Come to Krishna for any reason. But then those who claim themselves to be devotees, they don't take this verse very seriously. Why? Because if you ask anything from Krishna, then what does it do? It disturbs our relationship. Therefore, when we study Krishna's pastime, it is most extraordinary that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer, creator, and through his different agencies, he destroys the cosmic manifestation, is very powerful. His opulence are great. But that very Krishna, that very Supreme Personality of God, when he comes to this material world, or in fact, when he lives in his spiritual world, when he stays in the spiritual world, he has the power to act as a most ordinary person. We were discussing yesterday, like in this world, everybody fears death. Even though we are the object of Kala, we become influenced by Kala, the time factor, we die, but there is strong tendency not to die. To become immortal is the strong tendency of the conditioned living entity. And how do you want to be immortal? In this very body. But Krishna is transcendental. His form, his personality, his nature is eternal. But when he comes to this material world, just see, he goes through this principle of taking birth. And in fact, in the Bhagavatam it is explained, Krishna dies also. So therefore, when people discuss, how can God die? But for a devotee, when we see Krishna is going through the principle of birth and death, it is not bewildering, but that is shows Krishna's humility. He doesn't need to die, he never dies, he is eternal, but still he is willing to accept that position. I was giving an example, you know, in our Pushyabhishek festival, last to last year, it was very crowded. And at one point of time, we had to close the doors. And then many devotees got stuck outside. They couldn't come inside. The regular door was closed, and there were some devotees, important devotees, who have done so much for the temple. Like Krishna Chandrapa was there. I should not mention his name. He'll be, you know, not very happy. But anyway, I will mention, because the example will not be befitting otherwise. So he was also standing, himself and Radha Priya Mataji. And some devotees said, Prabhuji, you come through the Govinda's door, we will take you. For an important person, there are many doors. You can come from many doors. That door may be closed, but there are many doors through which you can come to temple. But he said, no. He said, I will only come through this door if this door ever opens. And the door did not open. And then he went back. He did not take darshan of Radha Gopinath. Now, is it stupidity or is it humility? Does it show great quality or does it show being impractical? That shows greatness. And what is that greatness? The greatness of simplicity, the greatness of humility. So that affects our consciousness, that affects our heart. Similarly, Krishna can come from anywhere, not necessarily from the womb of Mother Devaki. He came through the nostril of Brahmaji as Varadev. He came through the pillar of Lord Hiranyakashipu's palace. He came through the water in the form of fish. He came during the churning of the milk ocean as Kurmadev. So there are many doors for Krishna to come. And all these doors are not permittable for us. We can never be born from the nostril. Only the dirt burns from our nostril. We cannot come from the pillar. Only in the drama, when a thermocol pillar is made. Anyone who is acting as nursing, and many times the pillar is already moving. But Krishna has many doors to come, but he chose, as the Supreme Lord, the original personality of God, it could have come from anywhere, but he came through the womb of Mother Devaki. Is it not most wonderful? Therefore, Uddhav, in the Bhagavatam, when he is speaking to Vidur, he says, does it not bewilder us? And this bewilderment of Uddhava is not caused by ignorance of Krishna, but this bewilderment is caused because of great attachment to Krishna. He has got such an affection for Krishna. He knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that very Lord, he stands in front of Ugrasen Maharaj and is asking this question, my dear King, what can I do for you? And Uddhav brings tears in his eyes. Just see how Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but standing in front of Ugrasen and requesting what service he may do for Ugrasen Maharaj. So therefore, Krishna is the most extraordinary person as the Supreme Lord. And part of his extraordinary activity is that he becomes most ordinary. And this is the verse Brahmaji could see. When Lord Brahma, he tried to bewilder Krishna. And when he tried to bewilder Krishna, Bhagavatam explains, Sukadeva Goswami becomes so ecstatic in narrating this pastime. Now he has a great respect for Lord Brahma, because Brahmaji is a creator. And Brahma is one of the founder, is the acharya of the Brahma Sampradaya. But when Brahmaji was dealing as Brahma, the creator, trying to test Krishna, it is just like a student trying to test his teacher. I take your exam during the exam time. And what happened? Brahmaji is completely bewildered. And therefore, here Sukadeva Goswami did not hesitate to compare Lord Brahma to a firefly. You can't do that to your acharya. He said, Brahmaji was compared to a firefly and Krishna was like noonday sun. How can a firefly show its power in front of noonday sun? It will be burned to death. He tried to create complexity, but Krishna's complexity was so great, the Lord came down. When Brahmaji came on his hamsa, thinking that he has created unlimited confusion, but when he came down, what did he see? The two sets of coward boys. One set of coward boys were playing with Krishna, as usual, without any trouble. Another set of coward boys were in the cave where Brahmaji had hidden them. And that bewildered Brahma. You can imagine four-headed Brahma running back and forth. When you are bewildered with one head, it is so troublesome. When you are bewildered with four head, and Brahmaji's entire existence is made of intelligence. And he was totally bewildered, going back and forth, going back and forth. Therefore, Krishna is most complicated for those who are complex. Not only created that bewilderment, when Brahmaji came down, he saw 400 forms of Vishnu everywhere. All the four, the coward boys turned into 400 forms. So many 400 forms around. And seeing that, Brahmaji realized. And instantly Brahmaji, after realizing his stupidity and trying to play with Krishna, he became extremely simple. That very Brahma was very complex. He became so simple. And because of that simplicity, he could see harmony in Vrindavan. Very beautiful chapter. Within that same chapter, you see Krishna's great grandeur being exhibited. Not one Mahavishnu, not one Karanodakshaya Vishnu, not one Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the entire host of all the covered boys who were millions in numbers, they were all turned into 400 forms. So Vrindavan has the power that very Vrindavan can manifest all the Vaikuntha planets. And Brahmaji was so bewildered and he became so humble. And therefore Krishna, if we remain simple, he becomes simpler than the simplest. That very Krishna who manifested the 400 form, where Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma was there. When Brahmaji saw Krishna, the very first verse he offers, what is this verse? The verse is that Krishna is standing. And how does he stand? There is no grandeur. It is most organic, simplistic, of the highest order. There is no crown, there is a peacock feather. What is peacock feather? How does it cost? How much does it cost, peacock feather? If you go to Vrindavan, or you go to any place in India, you'll find hundreds of peacocks. And when the peacocks drop their feathers, they don't care to pick them up. They're just lying, just like dirt is lying. And Krishna is willing to take that peacock feather and put that feather on his crown. Not the crown, the turban. And he's not holding Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. Now Shankha, you know, some devotees have a Shankha which is called as Lakshmi Shankha or Balamuri Shankha. Now this Shankha, our Murali Prabhu, one who designs our dress, he was telling me that this conch nowadays cost more than 2 crore rupees. So, now this Shankha in this world, which is coming from the ocean, can cost 2 to 3 crore rupees. Just imagine the conch in the hands of Lord Mahavishnu. What to speak of, you know, trying to touch that Shankha. We don't even get to see that Shankha. Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma. Anything what Krishna possesses is most invaluable. But that very Krishna, what does he do? He's standing in Vrindavan in front of Brahmaji and he has nothing which is costly. All collected from the road, dirt, in the twigs of Vrindavan, in the forest. And what is he doing? He is holding rice, a morsel of rice in his left hand. Not even proper etiquette. When you see children sometimes break chapati with both the hands, you know, we teach, come on, don't eat chapati with both the hands, eat with one hand. Recently our Shikshastakam Prabhu, I decided to tell this story. He told me recently, he was in London. And then, you know, he's a typical devotee, Indian, cool, happy, enjoys Krishna Prasad, Indian Prasad. With his own fingers, eating his, with his fingers. So he was eating prasad with his own hands, not with spoons, in London. And he was hosted by some Indian people who were staying in London for many years. And the children of that family, they said, Prabhuji, this is not hygienic. They were bold to tell him that this is not hygienic. You should use spoon and fork. So now, You know, he wanted to teach them a lesson in a very nice way. He said, when he was in Air Force, he was taking food, not prasad, because that time he had not become a devotee. He was taking food with one of his officer. You know, because the Air Force, Navy and Army, they have taken the British culture. So then he was eating with spoon and fork, and Shikshastakam Prabhu was eating with his fingers. The officer said, he said, this is not right etiquette, you should be eating with spoon. And he was bold enough. He said, sir, these are my fingers. He said, these are my fingers. When I eat, only my finger go in my mouth. And the spoon what you are eating from, he said, I don't know how many people have put that spoon in their mouth. These fingers only go in my mouth, but the spoon goes in so many people's mouth. He said, which is more hygienic? And the officer kept looking on the spoon. He had a complex. And the children in London, they were shocked. They didn't imagine this could be more hygienic than putting the spoon in the mouth. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop. He said, whatever you have in your British Museum, they were glorifying British Museum. Indian kids, but they didn't know Indian culture. They didn't know about the great kings of India. They only knew about the British people. So he didn't stop there. He's still working for the Air Force, in one sense. And then he said, in your British Museum, you know what should be there? Simply aloos. Nothing but aloos, because the rest everything is stolen from India. So why do you glorify your museum? Then he started telling some more stories of the Vedic culture. I'm not celebrating India's Independence Day here. We are celebrating Janmashtami. And then he told me another story. Somebody asked Maharaj, why do you eat with your hands? Why not with spoon? Maharaj said, S-P-O-O-N. This is my spoon. So therefore Krishna, now we are talking about Krishna's simplicity. When you want to create complexities in life, then you don't see Krishna who is most simple. Krishna is simple. So therefore to see Krishna holding the morsel of food in his left hand and a stick in his right hand, a beautiful description given by Lord Brahma, that brings out Krishna's most simplistic attire and attitude. So therefore when Krishna takes birth in this material world, when he quits his form from this material world, it should not be bewildering. It is just like someone, great personality, walking through the same door as everybody else walks. What does it do? That creates, you know, glorification of that personality. So when Krishna comes to this material world, like anybody else, in fact the acharyas explain, when we study the pastime of the Lord taking birth from the womb of Mother Devaki, you don't have to anytime go into the womb of any other mother. When you study the pastime of Krishna drinking the milk from the breast of his mother, then you don't have to take any more milk from the breast of your mother. No more coming to this material world. Therefore, when we celebrate the appearance of Krishna and we celebrate the appearance of devotees, when devotees celebrate their birthday, you know, other devotees chant, you may never take birth again. But don't ever say that to Krishna. We have to say, Krishna, please take birth again and again and again, so that we can chant, you may never take birth again. Because that can only happen when that living entity is connected to Krishna. So therefore, our theme today, I was thinking, to reconcile the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. You know, when people discuss who is supreme, Vishnu is supreme or Krishna is supreme, who comes from whom? You know, that doesn't matter. What matters is that very Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he is the, in fact, Madhvacharya explained, one should not create a discrimination between the source and the manifestation. They are exhibiting the same power. This is what Lord Chaitanya told to Gopal Bhatta Goswami also, his father, Venkata Bhatta, when they were discussing who is the Supreme. And eventually Lord Chaitanya said, doesn't matter. What is Krishna? Krishna is the intimate form of Vishnu, and Vishnu is the official form of Krishna. So therefore, here we are given that opportunity to enter into the most rusty, rugged, ordinary, you know, form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Which is more intimate, the official one or the unofficial one? I remember when we joined the temple in those days, the organization was not based upon, you know, writing down in a paper, create a system. It was based upon whoever is available, use them for whatever service was available. Now because we have become very big, you know, lots of devotees are there, and there is a system now. For everything there is a written policy. For everything there is a system. Like I remember one time during the rainy season, now to come to the temple, you need to have a bill, you know, receipt, security checkup. Then somebody wants to join the temple, first of all he has to study, get full education, then work outside, then come to VTA, then come to BTA, then based upon the authorities, you know, you are sent here, you are sent there. It's the best system, working very nicely. As Gaurangpo was mentioning about, you know, that story of, you know, one man came looking for his friend. Similarly, one time it was raining heavily, somebody came from Chaupati. He came inside the temple, came straight into the Brahmacharya ashram, and he started staying in the ashram, and nobody knew who he was. President didn't ask. He thought the temple commander must have invited him, and the temple commander thought the president has invited him, and the manager thought the temple commander and the presidents have invited him. In this way, this man stayed for 6 months. And we eventually asked him, where did you come from? Main to aaya aise Chaupati se aa gaya idhar. And nobody asked him, and he never asked, should I stay here or not? So that was the system. So Vrindavan is like that. Anybody can come inside. And Krishna allows that kind of entry into Vrindavan. But you come to Vrindavan with wrong intention, then Krishna also performs, he kills the demon. Even the killing of the demon is not an organized system. Just like a police, if they have to catch a mafia or a terrorist, it is not a sportsmanship. It is not a sports. It is not entertaining. Rather, it is full of anxiety. And when the terrorist entered and they came to the Taj Hotel, those who were fighting them, it was not a fun. It was anxiety, it was a tension. But Krishna, when the demons enter into Vrindavan, what does Prabhupada say? It's simply an appetizer for Krishna. The demons don't create tension to Krishna. Rather, he becomes more skillful. He becomes more artful. Who can do dance when you are killing a demon? Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and then dancing on the hoods of Kaliya is not chastisement. It becomes exhibition of Krishna's dance performance. He beats the dance of Nataraj also. Lord Shiva is ashamed to see the dance of Lord Krishna, because Lord Shiva never dances on the hoods of snakes. He dances in the nice mountains of Kailash. But to dance on the hoods of Kaliya, even to try to catch a snake, snakes are very slippery. Very slippery to catch at. But here Krishna and this Kaliya snake was not only slippery, very cruel, very aggressive, very violent, and he was raising his hoods trying to hit Krishna. And not only Krishna is escaping that, Kaliya cannot hurt Krishna, but on the top of that, Krishna is doing beautiful dance. In fact, Rupa Goswami explains, many demigods were trying to play mridanga and different instruments, but they were not able to match up with the speed of Krishna. Just like when somebody is doing a kirtan, and if you don't have a good mridanga player, a kirtan player gets disturbed. Therefore, our Aindra Prabhu, you know, one of the reasons he left his body, however he left his body in a place where there was nobody around him. And he would always joke. He would say, that I hope nobody should be there. That is not my job. You go and remove it. Just imagine you are such a driver. Just if you have a driver and your car breaks down in a highway and the boss says, repair it. I am only driving. If it goes wrong, you do it. If you have that kind of driver, what will happen? Here, Arjuna, when he was trying to kill Jayadrath, naturally, Arjuna's horses got tired. And Krishna told Arjuna, horses are tired. And Arjuna doesn't come down. Krishna comes down first. He releases the horses. And he starts massaging those horses very nicely. And Arjuna, by his mystic power, he creates a beautiful lake there. And what do the people see? The Supreme Personality of Godhead on the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, when somebody wants to give lecture also, there are some Bhagavad speakers. There are so many conditions. My asana should be decorated with this kind of clothes only. I will do katha here. Everybody wants to do katha in the cruise nowadays, in the plane. As complex, as sophisticated, as luxurious as possible. And charging for katha is immense. You know, no less than 7 lakh rupees, 15 lakh rupees, a consultant when he wants to talk. You know, they give seminars on leadership and they charge $15,000, $25,000. And here Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And what was the platform? What was the platform? Bhagavad Gita is the best book on knowledge. And where did Krishna speak and what did he charge Arjuna? Nothing but Arjuna's attention and Arjuna's sincerity. Krishna spoke that knowledge and he didn't charge anything. And where did he speak? He had the power to become a chariot driver and he had the power to speak Gita also simultaneously. And Krishna brings down. He brings down himself, cleanses the horses, massages them, gives them grass. And everybody is watching it. In fact, Krishna has the power to create Vrindavan in Kurukshetra. In fact, Mahabharata explains that when people saw this scene, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is feeding grass to the horses of Arjuna, massaging them, giving them water, everyone was standstill. Nobody could fight. They were appreciating the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were appreciating the humility of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then everyone remembered Krishna taking the cows in the pasturing ground of Vrindavan. Krishna can do that. And Krishna did it. So therefore we see how the Supreme Lord, when he performed this act of being the most ordinary, that should not be bewildering. Rather, the act of Krishna, that even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but acting so humbly, so simply, you don't find any incarnation of the Lord. You don't see Narsingdev, you know, crying for milk of mother pillar. No, he came through a pillar. He didn't cry. He came, he killed Hiranyakashipu, he offered benediction to Prahlad, and he disappeared. But here Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, at the source of all incarnation, what does he do? He takes birth. And then he also wants milk of his mother. And not only that, our Vedic literature explained, the Vaishnava literature explained, sometime Krishna, you know, pees in the ground of Vrindavan. Now can you imagine God doing it? How can anybody understand this? People say, how do you say that God does this, that he is doing ordinary activity, urinating? Krishna does it. And then Krishna goes to the cow stable and is covered. His body is covered with what? His body is covered with the dirt, which is mixed with, there is no marble floor in Vrindavan's cow stable. There is a cow dung. It's a soil. And it is covered with cow dung, cow urine, milk, yogurt. And Krishna's entire body is covered with that. That is the Supreme Personality of God. You have to cover the body of the Supreme Lord. You know, if you go to yesterday, we were at Dr. Alva's place. And there was full of perfume. Not the French perfume, but kasturi, sandalwood. You know, all the shaligrams were covered with this. But here Krishna, what does he do? The Supreme Lord, the original form of the Lord, is covered with all this dirt. Therefore, one devotee prays. He said, I try to look the absolute truth in the pages of the Vedas. I try to find the absolute truth in the pages of the Puranas. And I was asking Krishna, I was asking for the absolute truth here, there, everywhere. But I couldn't find the Lord anywhere. But when I came to Vrindavan, I saw Krishna at the feet of Srimati Radharani. Just see the Supreme Lord, the absolute truth. He is falling at the feet of the Lord. Sometimes people have the understanding of God, that God means that everybody falls at his feet and he falls at nobody's feet. That is the partial understanding of God. The complete understanding of God is that the devotee stands on the head of the Lord. During the churning, when they steal the butter and yogurt. Of course, they do perverted one now. Today it's happening all over Bombay. The perverted act of Krishna stealing the butter. What happens? The Supreme Lord is bending down as one of the members, and one of the covered boy, without any hesitation, it is not that he's chanting few mantras, you know, I'm placing my foot on the head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please forgive me. Without hesitation, hey Krishna, stand properly, maybe punching also on the back. And then jumping on the back of the Lord, putting his foot on the head of the Lord, and then trying to steal the butter. Just imagine. So therefore, Krishna allows someone to put his foot on his head. Is it not humility? Is it bewildering? Yes, it is bewildering for those who develop the intelligence of Lord Brahma when you try to test Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada explained, our philosophy is not to know Krishna. In fact, Parikshit Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami, my dear Gurudev, how much can you tell about Krishna? I want you to elaborately explain about Krishna. Don't make it concise and brief. You go on speaking about Krishna as elaborately as possible. And you may say, Parikshit, you are tired. You have not eaten and drunk for 7 days. Very encouraging to see. We can try to do for one day. For 7 days, almost 6 days, Parikshit Maharaj had not eaten. He had not drunk. He had not slept. And then he's giving the confidence to Sukadeva Goswami. Don't think that I am tired. Don't tell Krishna story briefly. Go on speaking as elaborately as possible. But what can be done? How much can you speak? According to your capacity, you can speak about Krishna, because Krishna is limitless. He is limitless. So therefore here, we see that limitless Supreme Personality of Godhead, he acts humbly. So therefore we can never know Krishna completely. We can only, as Gauranga was narrating about closing the eyes, you know, collected from so many sources of so many acharyas, but can you ever complete why Krishna closed his eyes? Is it ever possible? You can find more and more reasons. I remember one devotee told, why Lord closes eyes when he performs his yoga nidra? When you see these huge deities of Lord Ranganath, you know, Anant Padmanabh, they are closing their eyes. And Lord Jagannath, he's opening his eyes. You know, so big. So one devotee said that Krishna closes his eyes not to see the faults of his devotees. No Vaishnava aparadh. Krishna does not like to see the faults of his devotees. And why does he open his eyes? I know only one reason. There may be billions of reasons why Krishna opens his eyes. He said Krishna opens his eyes because when he sees a devotee render some seva, when he sees a devotee is doing something good to another devotee, Krishna makes his eyes very big. So Jagannath's eyes resemble the opening of the eyes of the Lord for seeing the small, insignificant seva of his devotee. Wow, you know, he looks with the opened eyes. And when a devotee makes a mistake, what does Krishna do? He closes his eyes. So maybe therefore Krishna, when Putana came to him, he already planned, he already decided to liberate her. So already concluded that Putana is a sort of a devotee, and therefore I don't want to see her fault of giving me a poison. She'll get that reaction. Rather, she will get the liberation of possessing that material body which was loyal to Kamsa, and he gave her liberation. In fact, one devotee says, when Krishna was going back to Godhead, he has to call someone. That is an understanding. The whole concept of our system, the Vedic system, is a circular system. It is not, you know, when somebody goes higher and higher and higher, the higher personality has to offer less and less respect to less and less number of people. Junior you have to offer obeisances to more number of people. Higher you go, that much less number. And you are at the highest ladder, you are the top. Then what happens? You never bow down only. Dr. Alva was telling, I want more devotees to come. Because when they come to my Shaligram Shila, what do? The first thing, they go flat in the ground. He said, when I call my guest, you know, they don't bow down. So Shaligram will like people coming who come and offer obeisances. He was telling. So that is the principle in the material world. You go higher ups, then you don't have to offer respects to anybody. Right. In the material world, like we had gone recently to on the other side, not other side, in Uran, and we went to Navy ship. And when the big boss comes, then the ordinary servant has to offer respects. Like Shikshastanga Prabhu, you know, he's my good friend, so he shares many stories. He was telling one story, one Air Force officer, he punished his subordinate. Because the subordinate did something, he did not offer salute. So he punished him. What was the punishment? He said, you stand in the noonday sun and go on offering salute from morning till evening. So he's standing in the middle, you know, noonday sun in the middle of the ground and giving a salute. And what happened? There was another bigger officer than this officer who gave him the punishment. He was taking, you know, examining. He came around. He saw a soldier is standing. What is he doing? He's saluting like this. And nobody is there to receive a salute. So he came to him. What happened? He said, sir, you know, I did some mistake and therefore my boss has given me this punishment. Oh, he said, the rule in the Navy is that, a rule in the Air Force is that, if somebody is saluting, somebody is there to receive. So he called him, come here. And he said, you continue to offer salute and you continue to receive. So guy one who punished him, he had to stay also to receive the salute. This is material world. You can never be on the higher ups. But what Krishna does, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we worship Krishna, Krishna is much more competent. He is much more humble in worshipping his devotees. Therefore, when Krishna at that time of going back to the spiritual world, whom will he remember? Bhagavatam explains, Uddhava was telling, Krishna was remembering you, Vidur. Krishna remembered Vidur when he was going back to the spiritual world. We don't know, you know, whether Uddhava was trying to encourage some devotees. Say, they feel, oh, how can Krishna remember Vidur of all the people? Why not gopis? No, don't bring that technical stuff here. Krishna can remember Vidur while going back to Godhead, and he can remember Radharani also. He can remember Devaki also. He can remember Yashoda also. The point is, he can remember his devotees. Whom he remembers, that's not most important thing. And he was remembering. And one devotee said that he remembered his mother and he called for his mother. And people call for their mother. And when he called for his mother, who came? Yashoda came, Devaki came, and Putana also came. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, as Prabhupada repeatedly explains, and when we study the Bhagavatam, that if you want to relate to Krishna, if Krishna wants to relate with you, we have to just come and glorify Krishna the way he looks, the way he stands, the way he dresses himself, the way he puts, the way he has a turban, the way he covers himself with flowers. You just come and glorify Krishna for what he is rather than for what he has. When we come to Krishna asking from Krishna, give me this, give me that, then consciously or unconsciously we make Krishna into a demigod. Just like we were giving this example yesterday, when you know about your father and mother, you have certain expectation. This is what my father is. This is what is expected of him. But then you have certain desires to fulfill. Even though you know about your father, you go because hope against hope. And you go and ask something from your father. And what happens? He does not change his nature. He continues to maintain the same nature and there is a frustration. Who is supposed to be blamed? The son is supposed to be blamed or father is supposed to be blamed? The son is supposed to be blamed. The son knows that father will not change, but still he went to father asking for something. So similarly, when we know about Krishna, that why has he come to this material world? To protect? To kill? No, that is not his business. That can be done by anybody else. But he has come here to perform beautiful leelas. And if you don't approach Krishna other than being absorbed in Krishna leela, being absorbed in Krishna's pastime, being entertained by Krishna's stories, if you go to Krishna for any other reason, he may fulfill. And that is more dangerous. If Krishna fulfills some of our material desires, sometime the tendency is, let me ask for a bigger material desires. And then if Krishna does not fulfill, we lose track of being grateful. And we become demanding. Why not this one? Since you fulfilled my desire, I also fulfilled my commitment to you. I start chanting more rounds. So therefore, what does it do? It creates an obstacle. Therefore, Janmashtami is the day where we approach Krishna as our friend, as our master, as our lover, as our son, according to the rasa. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, repeatedly Prabhupada talks about it. What is our approach to Krishna? Our approach to Krishna is that we approach Krishna to enhance our relationship on this platform. And if Krishna ever fulfills any of our material desire, it is simply a bonus. It is not the most important thing. Therefore, on this occasion of Krishna's appearance, that we should pray that let us try to reconcile that Krishna's grandeur, which is amazing and most powerful, and more amazing than Krishna's grandeur is Krishna's simplicity. Whenever you encounter Krishna's story, which are most ordinary activities, Krishna forgetting. Sometime Krishna also got bewildered. Krishna had tears. Krishna was crying. Krishna was doing this. That should not bewilder us. What should it make us? It should make us, this is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Sukadev, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it is explained that Kritavan kila karmani sah ramena keshava ati martyani bhagwan kapata guda manusha. While performing the most wonderful activities, what Krishna is doing? He is acting as the most ordinary person. And his acting of most ordinary person is the most pleasing thing for the devotees. Holding a rice in his left hand and holding a stick in his right hand and a peacock feather on his turban and glittering cloth which is got from the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, not from a textile industry. He said they collect from some kind of a tree, the fiber of some tree, and that is how Krishna's cloth is made. And therefore Krishna is the most eco-friendly person. And when we love this Krishna, then our love is most natural. And our love, you know, which is most natural, will remain eternal. And in no point of time, we will ever give up Krishna and his lotus feet. And this is what Srila Prabhupada and his followers came to give us. What Krishna? The Krishna Vrindavan. We have no problem with Vaikuntha Krishna also. When we offer obeisances, when we perform our puja to Vrindavan Krishna or Vaikuntha Krishna, we offer. But what we need is Vrindavan Krishna, who is the most simple. A stick in his right hand, a morsel of food in his left hand. And is willing to share. Just like he shared chas with Sridhama. That's what bewildered Brahmaji. Taking out the chas from his mouth. Whose mouth? Not that Krishna's mouth to Sridhama's mouth, but from Sridhama's mouth to Krishna's mouth. This is our God. This is the God whom we worship. And any other God, we offer obeisances. जय श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की, जय श्री प्रभुपाद की। नाउ द रियल कथा विल स्टार्ट। हिज ग्रेस गौर गोपाल प्रभु एंड श्यामानंद प्रभु विल स्पीक। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर योर काइंड अटेंशन।